everyone, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Mary Ross Zeller, and I'm joined by my colleague, Nick Willon.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening in.
The Fulbright Program was founded in 1946, right after World War II. What happened is the U.S. actually had a surplus of from selling wartime goods. And so what they decided to do is, kind of back away from that isolationist philosophy and actually work towards expanding and strengthening relationships between people of the U.S. and citizens in the rest of the world. The Fulbright Program today is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Education and Cultural Affairs, and it's administered by us, which is the Institute of International Education's Council for International Exchange of Scholars. And just to give you a little bit of context of the pictures here, we've got on the left Dr. Joseph Whitley, who is an associate professor of English at East Carolina College, and he's speaking with a Burmese colleague who was one of the leading dancers of the time, and this is back in the early 60s. And then on the right side, we've actually got a 2014-2016 Fulbright Arctic Scholar, which is one of the newer programs that we have. Okay, and so another thing to give you kind of context about is just who are Fulbrighters? So we've had over 380,000 Fulbrights awarded since the program's inception. Over 800 people are granted U.S. scholars annually. We have Nobel laureates, Pulitzer Prizers, MacArthur Fellows, heads of state. There are so many types of people that receive Fulbrights that go on to do such amazing things, and so you're in really good company when you become part of the Fulbright family. Right. And to give you a little more context, we're talking specifically about the Fulbright core program today. Another part of the U.S. Scholar Program is the International Education Administrators Program. That's something separate than the core program that's not a teaching and research grant. That's actually a two-week seminar for International Education Administrators. But we are having actually a webinar tomorrow on that, so if you have further questions, tune in tomorrow. Right. So the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program supports teaching, research, and teaching research grants. We've got a little bit of a breakdown here as far as almost half of scholars are either doing teaching research or research. And then just a few are only doing teaching. That's just the general makeup of awards and the number of offerings that we have available. Fulbrighters consist of faculty, administrators, professionals. There are awards open for all of these types of professional profiles. We have all disciplines available, obviously, and that's really going to be what we're going to cover today. And then just to let you guys know, the deadline is August 1st. Always is August 1st, unless that falls on a weekend. All right? So, as far as eligibility goes, these are going to be general eligibility factors for any award that you're applying to. The first is you have to be a U.S. citizen. If you're not a U.S. citizen, there is a program for you. It's called the Visiting Scholar Program. But today we're only talking about opportunities available to U.S. citizens. Certain awards are going to require a certain level of academic knowledge, right? So some degrees will require a PhD or an other terminal degree. So that's going to be something maybe like an MFA or something, that might be different than your standard doctorate in economics or something like that. But there are a lot of awards that are available to people without PhDs too. So don't be deterred if you don't have a PhD degree or a terminal degree in your field. The Fulbright program is open to professionals outside of academia. That also includes artists. You don't have to be a college professor that lectures every day. We just got a question in, is a JD considered a terminal degree? Yes. If you're not your standard college professor as far as getting up every day, lecturing, maybe doing some research in the afternoon, it's still possible that the Fulbright Scholar Program is suitable for you. teaching experience is required by award, so that might really come into play if you're a professional or an artist. Maybe look into those awards that don't really focus as much on teaching. And then we also have, if you have a previous scholar grant, so if you're an alumni of the program, the policies and waiting periods have changed recently. So you can have as many scholar grants as you'd like in your lifetime. The only limiting factor is that you have to wait at least 2 years between the end date of your grant and your date of application. If you have questions about that eligibility, write in to us. We'll have the email at the end of the presentation, and we can help get you sorted. So, a Fulbright that works for you. This is just kind of a general overview of the different types of things that you'll see in these award descriptions. So, one is a flex option. So, flex is a type of way to alter the grant length of your presentation, of your project. So, flexing means that you're going to go to the country multiple times. You're not going to finish your scholar grant in one chunk of time. You may go two or three times. And that might be because the fungi that you're researching only blooms during the spring. And so you need to go every spring to study this. That would be something that might constitute a flex. There are awards for anybody at any career stage. So there are postdoc awards. Postdoc is anybody that is 5 years and under from receiving their PhD. And then early career, that's also between 5 years. And then distinguished chair, those are for people who have been in the field for quite some time and are very established. We have multi-country awards, and actually one of the awards that we're featuring today is a multi-country award, so we can talk a little bit more about that later. We also have the Global Scholar Award. This is specifically one award within the catalog of awards, but it's an opportunity for you to go to two or three world regions and study kind of something across all across the world. So it's a pretty attractive opportunity. We've actually hosted some webinars on the opportunity, so if you have more questions, I can connect you with our colleague that works on that as well. And then lastly, you're not required to be a professor to be in this award to apply for a Fulbright Scholar Grant, so home university affiliation isn't required. You can apply as a professional, an independent, or you can be retired. We welcome applications from all types. So, getting more into all disciplines territory, right? That's why you're here. So there are two types of awards that you're going to find in the catalog of awards. You're going to find programmed awards, and you're going to find these all disciplines or multi-disciplines awards. A programmed award is going to be an award that specifically lists a required or preferred discipline, and it's going to have a lot more information hammered out as far as the type of person that they are expecting. It's going to be a much more narrow field. So for example, I have an award in Georgia, which is Science, Technology, and Engineering. In this award, they're only looking for scientists and engineers. These are the hard sciences that they're preferring. Whereas the all disciplines opportunities, these are opportunities that a country will have an award for that allow anybody from any background to apply to. So I have Guyana's awards, for example. This is an opportunity that is open to people in education, in mathematics, in anthropology, in literature. All of those are suitable applicants for this type of award. There are awards that are considered all disciplines, but they don't actually have the title all disciplines in them. They might be an award that is specifically at a host university, and so they're actually giving you the name of the host university in the title. So if it doesn't say all disciplines in the award title, don't completely discount it. It might still be an opportunity for you. Things that you're going to see in these all disciplines award descriptions are going to be something like applications are sought in all appropriate disciplines, or They might even have something that says preference for, and then list some specializations or list some disciplines that they, you know, they might like somebody in education or somebody in non-U.S. history. They might prefer those applications over others. However, doesn't mean to say that if you're an engineer that you can't apply to that award. You know, it's totally possible that we might not get anybody in those preferred disciplines applying for that award. So don't totally discount yourself from an award if your discipline isn't featured, especially if it's an all disciplines award. So I want to talk about some of the advantages to all disciplines awards. The best part about an all disciplines award is that you choose your discipline, right? These are open to anybody, and so I think that these are actually especially attractive if you are doing something multidisciplinary and you feel like you can't really hammer down where you think you belong. An all disciplines category actually might be perfect for you. Another thing is that you're able to choose your host institution a lot of times. So as long as the award doesn't particularly say, you know, you must affiliate at the University of Bucharest, then that means you can go really anywhere in the country. It doesn't necessarily have to be a university. It could also be maybe a library or a research institution. Different places like that have also been hosts before. The grant activity options can be more open a lot of times. So you'll more likely have the option to either do the teaching research or the combination of both. So really overall, you're just receiving a maximum flexibility in all disciplines awards. You can really kind of customize them how you like versus some of the other awards and those programmed awards in the catalog of awards. They're much more stagnant. And then lastly, I do want to tell you guys that the over 50% of the awards in the catalog of awards are all disciplines awards. An all disciplines awards isn't by any means less prestigious than an award with a different title. They're up to anybody, right? So everybody receives the same amount of prestige as far as being a Fulbrighter. It's still quite an accomplishment. It's a very lengthy review process and rigorous. It's perfect if you know, you see an award and you see a country, but maybe you're not really sure as a discipline of something that's, you know, highly interdisciplinary where you would fit, go for an all disciplines award. So we've got two questions here. One is, what is the difference between journalism and communications under a Fulbright? So typically, actually, we end up combining the two, right? And so journalism and communications we talk about together. I actually will connect you with one of the discipline leads of the program, and she'll be able to follow up with you about some more specifics. Right? We've got another question. So somebody was asking, what percentage of all disciplines awards are not awarded? So we don't actually share application numbers, statistics, success rates, anything like that. It really deters, actually, from applicants applying for the award that's actually going to best fit them. It's also not necessarily an accurate number each year because the awards change year to year. You know, applications fluctuate year to year depending on the popularity of awards, the offerings or not offerings of them. Right, so another question, are all disciplines awards more or less competitive than other awards? So all disciplines awards, it depends on the country you're applying to. Some countries only have all disciplines awards offered, and we can get more into that later as far as giving you examples and how their competitiveness might stack up against others. Right? So we'll keep going, and then, you know, we'll also have time at the end for more questions, so I'll keep answering your questions throughout. All right. So some of the challenges involved in all disciplines awards. You know, we talked about all the good things, so here's some of the things that might end up deterring you that I also want to spin into something why you should apply still for these types of awards. The all disciplines awards are open-ended. Their flexibility also comes with very vague and broad instructions in the award descriptions. And so, you know, you're not necessarily going to receive information about the specific host or the specific type of activity that you're doing on your grant. And so it's really up to you to create all of that. One of my colleagues used to say an all disciplines awards is like giving you the frame of a house, but it's up to you to furnish it and, you know, to paint the walls, to decide on the theme, everything like that. That's going to be up to you. They're varied in competition, right? So like we talked about with, you know, Germany, it's a country that only has an all-disciplines award. There are no other awards offered. So in that sense, the all-disciplines award in Germany is the most competitive award because it's the only award. The challenges that come with all-disciplines award are also that, you know, if you find a programmed award, right, so that's one of those awards that specifically is requesting people in education, or like that Georgia Science and Technology Award, you should probably look more into that award than the All Disciplines Award. What that country is saying basically is that they're interested in people very specifically for an award only in education or only in science and technology. Which means that when your application is being reviewed, that you're going to be reviewed by other people in that field. You know, as an engineer, you're not going to have to go up against a lit professor in application review. And then, so another challenge that applicants might have is that when you're submitting your proposal, you need to make sure to include strong country ties. So why are you picking this country? You know, applying for the All Disciplines Award in Kosovo is great, you know, if you want to study biomechanical engineering, but if you don't have a reason why you should be studying your topic in Kosovo, then you're still not going to be a very competitive applicant. You still have to make sure that you're tying in the country to your project. So don't just apply to an All Disciplines Award at random. Make sure that there's a country relevance to your project. Right? So I gave you a little bit of general information about All Disciplines Awards, and now what I want to do is just go into some of the different offerings in the different award regions. By no means is this an exhaustive list of all disciplines opportunities in each region. It's just a sampling to give you an idea, give you some inspiration of where you might be able to go. So Europe has over 60 award opportunities in all disciplines awards alone. Europe is the largest world region. It does have the most award offerings. And so sometimes when people come up and they say, I want to go to Europe, they can get intimidated. But it's great if you want to filter by all disciplines awards. That's going to be able to cut down, and you'll see less opportunities that you can maybe filter through at your own pace a little bit easier. We have a Cyprus opportunity. In Finland, this award is the Fulbright University of Turku Scholar Award. And then in parentheses, it has all disciplines. So what that's telling you is that you're going to be hosted specifically at the University of Turku, but it is an all disciplines award, so anybody is welcome to apply. Specifically with Finland, this grant, it's a 3 to 12 month grant. A letter of invitation is optional. It's open to projects in most academic disciplines, and it's supporting teaching, research, and or combination. Your teaching is going to be conducted entirely in English, which is awesome if you don't speak Finnish. If you are looking to do research in Finland, though, depending on the nature of your research, you may need some Finnish. All right. So other opportunities, we have an All Disciplines Award available in France. France also has a lot of regional awards, which are interesting to look into if you're interested in a specific region. Georgia has an All Disciplines Award opportunity. They also have the specific programmed awards too, right? So that Science, Technology, and Engineering Award. So Georgia is a great example of a country where maybe look into it. You know, if you don't fit into the science and technology, then maybe go for the All Disciplines Award. Or if you don't fit into one of the other Georgian awards, maybe then look at the All Disciplines Award. Germany, like I mentioned earlier, they have two award options, but they're both all disciplines. So the first is a basic all disciplines. The second is an all disciplines awards with the option for flex. So if you're looking to go to that country multiple times over 2 years, then you would apply to the all disciplines flex opportunity. But if you're looking to go to Germany for just one chunk of time, then you'd apply to the basic 9190 opportunity. Luxembourg, Macedonia, Moldova, Latvia, Lithuania, Serbia, Slovenia, they all also have all disciplines awards. And again, that's just a sampling of the opportunities. There are many more awards in the Mediterranean, in Eastern Europe, in Northern Europe, in Western Europe, Central Europe, all of that, that have all disciplines opportunities. Spain also, so Spain breaks their all disciplines award down in a different way as well. So they have a junior research award, and that's only for early career scholars in all disciplines, and then they only have senior teaching and research for the more senior scholars, so mid-career or late in career applicants. The United Kingdom is a special country in that every single award in the UK is cost-shared. And so what that means is that every award is affiliated with the university already. However, every award is all disciplines. As far as there are 17 opportunities in all disciplines in the UK. There are opportunities for... opportunities in disciplines outside of the all disciplines. However, there is a great deal of information available in all disciplines in the UK. Okay, so on to the Middle East and North Africa. So the Middle East and North Africa actually has over 15 awards in all disciplines, and all disciplines opportunities are available in every single country in the Middle East and North Africa region that we have Fulbrights in. So the first award that I want to tell you guys about is the Morocco-Spain Joint Award. So this award is actually new this year, and it's a 7 to 10 month grant, and that takes place in Morocco and Spain. So Spain and Morocco have historically shared environmental, historical, and cultural links. The aim of this award is to heighten awareness in those links. Applicants may teach, conduct research, or pursue a combination of teaching and research activities at Spanish and Moroccan universities, cultural centers, or research institutions. Projects that are comparative in nature and address issues linking Spain and Morocco are desired. No less than 40% of the grant period may be spent in either country. And this award is open to mid-career and senior scholars, and it's open to all disciplines, right? So that's why we're talking about it today. It's also open to professionals outside of academia, so it's great for artists as well. And so Jordan has a 5 to 10 month opportunity. Migration studies, nursing, and business administration are priority disciplines this year, but applications are welcome from scholars in all fields. So this is one of those awards where, you know, they have preferred disciplines listed. However, by no means do you have to fit within those preferred disciplines if you want to apply. The Fulbright Commission in Jordan operates a villa in a quiet residential district outside of Amman, that they call the Fulbright House. The staff there are committed to ensuring that each grantee becomes a member of their Fulbright family and feels that a home away from home is always present from the day they begin in Jordan. The Fulbright staff in Jordan regularly assist incoming Fulbrighters with everything from securing suitable apartments to identifying schools for accompanying dependents. The commission also hosts cultural events and have a book and DVD lending library. So basically all this is to say that the Fulbright Commission in Jordan is extraordinarily supportive, and Jordan is a great country to look into if you're looking to go to the Middle East. So for Bahrain, there's a 10-month opportunity that begins in September. The host institutions in Bahrain will consider placement in a wide variety of fields. However, successful applicants are able to demonstrate how their field of study can contribute to promoting Bahrain's economic future. Any appropriate host institution is eligible for the All Disciplines Award, and awards to Bahrain do not require a PhD. So this is really great if you're a distinguished scholar, but maybe don't have that PhD. All right. So for Qatar, you can spend 1 to 2 semesters teaching or conducting a combination of research, teaching research activities. Research only is not permitted. Qatar University and Ahmad bin Khalifa University are eligible host institutions for this award. Other hosts will not be considered. A PhD and at least 3 years of postdoctoral teaching experience are required for this award. And experience with embedding technologies in the classroom and offering online courses is a major plus. So again, this is one of those All Disciplines Awards that maybe got a little bit more specific with what they're looking for, which is great if you're not really sure where to start. So other countries I want to tell you guys about are the West Bank, Saudi Arabia, Tunisia, and Kuwait. These are all fantastic places to look into. Knowledge of teaching of Arabic or French varies for each award. And again, like we said earlier, PhDs might not always be required depending on the country. Right? So South and Central Asia. So there are 13 award offerings within South and Central Asia. The main country I want to focus on right now, though, is India. So India is the country that offers the highest amount of award offerings. Over 45 grants for academics and professionals are offered just within this one All Disciplines Award. So there are multiple All Disciplines Award in India. One is a distinguished chair, and so that's for our senior academics that are well established in their field. But the one I'm talking to right now is the General Fulbright Nehru Academic and Professional Excellence Awards. So the commission is open to topics from all disciplines and offers wonderful in-country support in India. Scholars are assisted with housing, they give public talks, and if the timing of their grant coincides with it, they actually get to participate in the South and Central Asia Mid-Year Fulbright Conference, which is held in India, and it brings together Fulbrighters from all across South and Central Asia. English is widely used in the country, and so knowledge of a local language is not required for the award. Another country I want to mention about South and Central Asia is Kazakhstan. There are 5 grants available for this one All Disciplines Award, which is awesome. It's open to all scholars and professionals with a terminal degree. If scholars opt for teaching plus research, it does have to be a 50-50 split. So this is one of those awards that is specifically telling you whether what your time commitment needs to be for teaching and research, how you're going to split that. Kazakhstan is very welcoming to American scholars, and people in Kazakhstan are very eager to collaborate with American scholars. It's a wonderful chance for Fulbrighters to make an impact and serve as a cultural ambassador.
Okay, thank you very much, Mary Rolfe. My name is Nick Willon. I am the Outreach and Selection Coordinator at IIE, helping to administer the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. And I'm just going to jump in here to talk about some program highlights in East Asia and Pacific, and then Sub-Saharan Africa, and then later the Western Hemisphere. So first off, at the East Asia and Pacific, we should say that there are 15 All Disciplines Awards that are offered. I'm going to go over a few of them in detail and then list the rest. If you have any interest in this region, I recommend that you check out our course our award catalog on CIES.org. So first off, we have the All Disciplines Award to Cambodia. So this award offers scholars the opportunity to either teach or teach and conduct research at a higher education institution in Cambodia. And this can be in your, just like all other All Disciplines Award, this can be in your area of specialization. And the grant lasts for 4 to 10 months. So all teaching will be in English to speak on the language requirement, and points of contact at various universities in Cambodia are provided. again in that awards catalog page on our website. Next up, we have the All Disciplines Award to Hong Kong. This gives you the opportunity to teach undergraduate or graduate courses, or to teach and conduct research. So this is another example of an All Disciplines Award that allows you to either teach or teach in research. And this will be at a Hong Kong university of your choosing for a semester or two semesters. And you should note that for this award, a letter of invitation is required, and all teaching will be in English. I believe this is our first mention of the letter of invitation. We'll be covering that a little bit later in the webinar. So next up is Japan, and you should note that there are two All Disciplines Awards for Japan. And the distinction between the two is that one is a research grant and one is teaching and research. So if you are interested in applying for an award in Japan, please take note of the distinction between these two awards and your goals and your grant period. So Japan offers two separate awards, like I said. The research opportunity in particular offers the Flex Grant option. And if you remember, Mary Rolf mentioned the Flex Grant option earlier. That essentially means that you can break up your grant timeline into certain segments where you could return to the United States and then in turn return to Japan to finish your grant. And Mary Rolf, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it four segments maximum for the Flex Grant?
It's either three or four.
Three or four. Okay, so that information is also found in on our website, and we'd be happy to clarify that for you later. So like I said, the research opportunity in particular offers the Flex Grant option and seeks projects with a focus on Japan studies, political and economic relations between Japan and Pacific Rim nations, crisis management, public health, and health policy, and others listed within the award opportunity. Both awards require a letter of invitation and are open to academics and professionals. All right, so to briefly mention the All Disciplines Award in the Philippines, this award stands out in that it has preferred disciplines. All right, so the applications are particularly sought in the study of the U.S., human rights, international relations, STEM fields, and others within political science, economics, and development fields. And again, that is a preferred discipline. So if you find yourself outside of that list of specializations, it's not that you are shut out from this application. It's just they're telling you up front that this is the, they specify they're particularly seeking these specializations. All right, again, so there's an All Disciplines Award in Singapore, and preference will be given to research activities, which involve collaboration with local scholars. And again, a letter of invitation is required for Singapore. And Thailand, this is an example of a more broad one. So the ones I just went over are a little bit more specific with preferred disciplines, but Thailand is much more broad. You can propose to teach, conduct research, or do a combination of the two at any appropriate academic institution in Thailand. Applicants proposing a teaching activity must hold at least the rank of assistant professor and have three or more years of university teaching experience. And a letter of invitation is optional. So as you may have noticed, that the letter of invitation guideline changes from grant to grant, from award to award. So keep an eye on that when you're looking around in our award catalog. So to list the other All Disciplines Awards in East Asia and the Pacific, we have Burma, Indonesia, Macau, Malaysia, Mongolia, Vietnam, Australia, and New Zealand. Okay, now moving on to the Sub-Saharan African region. The Fulbright program in Africa is one that offers immense opportunity to have a very deep and lasting impact with communities there. For grantees to Africa, the hope is that they would not only teach or conduct research, but also work with their counterparts to shape programs or advise or otherwise develop meaningful ties with faculty and students. The potential to make a lasting impact is enormous and often the most rewarding part of the experience for grantees. There's a huge need for teaching in the region, so many of the awards available involve teaching. They also provide generous support for dependents throughout the region, meaning if you'd like to bring a spouse or children with you along with you during your grant time, Sub-Saharan Africa is known to be very accommodating for that. There are awards available in 27 countries in Sub-Saharan Africa, and about half of our awards are all disciplines. So 21 out of the approximate 50 awards in Sub-Saharan Africa are all disciplines awards. In addition to the All Disciplines Award, also keep an eye out for a few awards that are open to individuals from a wide variety of disciplines, particularly the awards in Zambia and South Africa and the African Regional Research Award. Each award lists its preferences, so keep an eye out for their preferences in the award catalog, and opportunities range from unique public health and medical science awards to American literature and business administration. So we will highlight particular topics of interest. For example, projects focusing on agriculture and American studies have been increasingly mentioned, as well as issues related to economic development, computer science, and environmental science. And we've gotten quite a bit of feedback from a number of country programs that they welcome projects related to women's and youth equality issues. So to kind of go through, to highlight some of our awards in the Sub-Saharan Africa region, we'll start with the All Disciplines in Uganda. This is a 6 to 10 month teaching and research grant, meaning both teaching and research combined. Ugandan universities currently face a shortage of qualified and experienced faculty to help teach and develop the programs they currently offer. And the U.S. Embassy is dedicated to improving the quality of instruction and delivery at their institutions, while building long-term collaborations between Ugandan and U.S. universities. Scholars will be given the opportunity to teach undergraduate and, if offered, graduate courses in an area of specialization. Assist with curriculum development, supervise undergraduate and graduate students. So these are tasks that you'll be kind of faced with when you begin your grant period in Sub-Saharan Africa. And collaborating with faculty on research and conducting research in the area of specialization. Grantees should plan on a 50-50 ratio of time spent on teaching and to research. This can be adjusted depending on the needs of the host institution, and scholars with a terminal degree at least two years of postdoctoral college or university teaching experience. Applicants are encouraged in all disciplines, including health, humanities, and STEM. All teaching will be in English, and proficiency in any other language is not required. So, moving on to the All Disciplines in Sudan, it's a 10-month teaching and research award. It's one of our newer awards, and Sudan's public universities have been in decline for decades and would greatly benefit from the presence of American scholars in a variety of fields. Scholars will teach undergraduate or graduate courses in any discipline taught at the host institution. They will also collaborate with faculty on staff training and curriculum development and conduct research in an area of specialization. This could include seminars and excuse us, we're having an interruption here. All right. Sorry about that. So they will conduct research in an area of specialization, and this would include seminars and indicate plans for research dissemination in host countries as well as in the United States. Applicants are especially encouraged in topics such as science and technology, food security, water and resource management, environment, tropical agriculture, zoonotic and neglected diseases, renewable energy, marine sciences, medicine, cancer research, primary health care, nanotechnology, and university administration. So as you can see, there are some preferred disciplines there, or preferred specializations, but it's a very broad list. All teaching will be in English, and proficiency in another language is not required, but for Sudan, a working knowledge of Arabic is definitely an advantage. So to move on to Mozambique, it is a 10-month teaching and research combined award. And Mozambique is a Lusophone country surrounded by English-speaking neighbors and rapidly developing with an influx of multinational companies and investors. Universities are seeking to train new cadres of teachers and equip graduates with English-speaking capabilities. Scholars will teach undergraduate and graduate courses in any discipline taught at any of the universities, and assist with tutorials, thesis advising, student research papers, and curriculum development. They will also conduct research in an area of their specialization. Scholars with a PhD and 3 to 5 years of postdoctoral, re- postdoctoral, university, or college teaching experiences are preferred. Priority areas of focus may include political science, international relations, literature, the arts, anthropology, gender studies, public administration, business, information technology, linguistics, and water resource management. American literature courses are taught in English. Portuguese proficiency is needed for interaction and administrative needs, and fluent Portuguese is required for teaching in all other disciplines. Non-native speakers must submit a language proficiency report. So to move on, last but not least, to the All Disciplines Award to Malawi. This is a 5 to 10 month teaching or teaching and research award. Scholars will teach undergraduate or graduate courses in any discipline taught in the university and assist with student advising and curriculum development. Scholars with a PhD and at least 2 years of postdoctoral university or college teaching experience are preferred, and all teaching will be in English. Proficiency in any other language is not required. Okay, so to move on to the Western Hemisphere. As you can see, there's a long list of countries that offer all disciplines awards in the Western Hemisphere. All 23 of them are listed on this slide. They're also listed on our course catalog, so don't try to write all this down right now. That's available on our website. So one thing I want to point out is that they're available in 23 countries in the Western Hemisphere, and they support a variety of activities. Research, teaching, slash research, or research alone. And they are open to all disciplines, but may have preferences. I'm not going to list all the preferences for all 23 countries, but again, that is available online. And they are open to a variety of host institutions. Okay, one thing I should say, that all disciplines awards are available in all regions of the Western Hemisphere, meaning that all disciplines awards can be found in North America, Central America, the Caribbean, and South America.
Thanks, Nick, for the overview of the other three world regions. So right now what we're going into are the application resources. We've talked a lot about this catalog of awards, and we've mentioned a lot of specific awards in all disciplines, but I just want to navigate to it really quick to show you guys what we're talking about and how to look for all these things that we've been talking about today. So what I've decided to do is go straight to our homepage. So this is the CIS.org website. And what you'll see is right down here, there's this Browse the Awards Catalog box. Let's click on that. And then what this is going to do is open you up to our wonderful grantee standing on top of a bus with a tripod. And this is where you're going to be able to navigate the awards. So you can make some general selections right here. But if you just want to see every single award we have offered, you can just click Search All Awards. Okay, so you can see right now, as of today, we have 471 opportunities. Alright, so the first award that pops up happens to be an All Disciplines Award from Albania. How convenient for me. So what we'll do is we'll click on that, and we'll walk you through this award description. Right, so you can tell by the title it's an All Disciplines Award. If there's any specializations to the grant activity, it's going to let you know here. So this one is a pretty general award. It's just saying that you're going to teach courses at the undergraduate or graduate level in your area of specialization, and then that you also can conduct research. If you look over on the right side of the award description, you'll see that the activity has all three options available for you on your grant. You'll notice the grant length, and so this is saying that you can only do 4 to 5 months for this grant, so this is only a semester grant. It's also telling you that you're either going to start in October or in February. This is a flex grant, which is fantastic, because that's a great example, too, that we can go into. So you see that flex is an option. Each award has different specifications for what flex means to them, so how many times you can go, what the minimum and maximum month grant length is for each time you go abroad. All of that information is individual based on award and going to be found right here in the award description. and scrolling back up really quickly, you'll see any appropriate locations. And so Albania is actually a great example because it's got a few possible affiliations listed below. But it's also saying that the U.S. Embassy is willing to make recommendations for applicants. So what that means is that you can actually reach out to them, and the U.S. Embassy in Albania is happy to assist you with creating your grant and establishing those contacts. So just keep scrolling down. You'll notice this is one of those examples of awards where it's an all-disciplines award, but we've got some preferred specializations and disciplines. So American Studies, Communications, Computer Science, Education Journalism, and Religious Studies are all preferred disciplines. And then even more specifically, Higher Ed Administration, Curriculum Development, Cybersecurity, and Investigative Journalism are preferred. And then sometimes the special features, it might have some assistance. And this one is talking about host universities. If you go up, so the award details tab, this is really important as far as giving you some hard concrete information for your grant. The award requirements tab is also going to be helpful. So letter of invitation, Nick's going to talk about this in just a minute, but I just want to point out that this is where you'll find whether it's preferred, required, anything like that, you'll notice here. Any language requirements. So English is sufficient for teaching. That's the case with a lot of awards, but not all of them, which is really helpful if you don't speak the local language. What you'll see actually about research, though, is this line. Foreign language proficiency sufficient to complete the research project is required. And so what this basically means, this is, you'll see this a lot actually in Eastern Europe specifically, and the other awards and throughout the catalog, is that it's asking you, you know, if you're going to interview local people in Albania that have never interacted with an English speaker their entire lives, and you don't speak any of the local language, how are you going to communicate with these people? You know, what's the feasibility of you conducting this project? And you'll say, I'm hiring a translator, or my colleagues at my institution all speak English, something like that. So not speaking the host language is, again, doesn't necessarily limit you from applying for the award. If you have questions, please reach out to us about that, and we can help clear it up for you, too. Professional profile, this is where it's going to tell you if an award is open to academics only or if it's also open to appropriately qualified professionals. The Albania Award is open to all of the above, which is awesome. Right here, it's also telling us information about degree requirements. So a PhD is highly preferred. However, applicants with an MA or other professional degree and at least 5 years of substantial experience in their field will also be considered. So you're not limited if you don't have a PhD degree with this award in Albania. Some of the awards are really fantastic in that it's actually going to give you contact information for people at universities. This is going to be a really helpful step if you're looking for a letter of invitation, which again, Nick's going to talk about in just a minute. And then really quickly, award benefits. So these are estimates about your award stipend that you may be receiving. And then country and area overview. This is also really helpful. I think that this goes overlooked a lot of times, but I would encourage you to look at this when you're applying to an award. It might give information about the context for the country, and then it also might say preferences as far as maybe they're preferring applicants that are one semester grants versus year-long grants, things like that. Right? And so if we go back into this presentation, I will hand over the presentation back to Nick, and he can go along with some of the more resources.
Okay, so now that we've gone through the website and shown you the catalog of awards, and you have a deeper understanding of how to find award details, award requirements, the benefits, and the country overview. Now let's say you've really narrowed it down and you found an award that's right for you. All right, so then you just move and you hit Apply Now, and it'll take you to our online application page. So at this point, it would be good to understand the application components. So in our online application, you'll find that it requires an application form, a project statement, a curriculum vitae or resume, letters of reference, and depending on the award, they can add additional components. All right, and these additional components could be a course outline or syllabi, and of course this is just for teaching awards, to give an example of what you might be teaching in your host institution. A select bibliography, this is only for research awards, so a bibliography of sources that you've used in making your project. A language proficiency report, this depends on your native language as well as the language requirements of the host institution or the host country you'd be going. A letter of invitation, and supplemental materials for applicants in the arts, architecture, writing, and journalism. All right, so to go into more detail on the project statement. So the project statement is essentially, it's an opportunity to lay out what your project will be. The project specifics, and it's an opportunity for you to describe what you'd be doing in as much detail as possible. So some questions that you should be considering as you're kind of laying out your project statement is why Fulbright and why this country and why this institution or organization? All right, so it's best to be extremely specific about this. The more specific you are in terms of crafting your project statement to your host institution or your host country, the better. All right, so focus on what you plan to do, the specific courses you plan to teach, and the methods and goals of your research. You should also think about the outcome of your grant. What is the impact on your hosts? What's the impact of the home institution? And what is the impact on you? What will you take away from your Fulbright experience? And remember, it's important to remember that the whole point of Fulbright is to strengthen the relationship of the U.S. and the host country, to build these relationships together. So work that into your project statement as much as possible. Another thing to consider is how adaptable are you? How well will you deal with the changing situations? All right, so you'll be going across the world in some cases, and to kind of show that you've done this before, and if not done it before, you're adaptable and you can adapt to a new situation, that'll definitely help strengthen your project statement. Okay, moving on to affiliations and invitations. Okay, so we've mentioned letter of invitation several times, and this is a question that we get quite often. All right, so this, as you've noticed, differs from country to country. So if a host is identified, it will be found under location in the course catalog. So if a host country is not identified, there are several resources to find in affiliation. All right, so let's say you're browsing through the award catalog and you notice that your award does not specify a host institution. So a great place to go would be an international office on your campus if you are working at a university. They can provide resources for finding a host institution or affiliation. Another place to go is our website. We provided a link here on the PowerPoint, which we'll provide to you. So the U.S. and Visiting Fulbright Scholar Directory is a great place to look at previous Fulbright scholars and where they've done their research, where they've taught, where they've done their Fulbright grant. So this will give you a lot of it. You can narrow your search by each country, and it'll give you a list of other past host institutions. So this will give you a good starting point in terms of reaching out to an affiliation. So another thing to do is review the award description for suggested hosts or resources. All right, so to give a little description on the letter of invitation. So as we mentioned before, this is not always required. In fact, there are several different levels of requirement for the letter of invitation depending on the award. So starting from least to greatest, if that makes sense. So the different levels consist of do not seek a letter of invitation, optional, preferred, highly preferred, recommended, and required. All right, so there are several different levels of this. Keep an eye on that. So this is a letter of invitation is a non-binding expression of interest from the proposed host abroad. And it should come from a person with whom you will be collaborating, if possible. All right, so if you reach out to the university or the institution and you've maintained communication with that contact, that will definitely help your case, and that would be the person to write the letter of invitation. All right, and so they should be on a host institution letterhead, so that on a document that has the host institution's main letterhead. Okay. Oh, sorry, to add a little bit more detail here. So all discipline-specific advice that can be so something to look about when you look at when you're looking at the different awards is I apologize. I was looking at the wrong note. So a strong letters are specific and detailed about the project and you. All right. So just like the project statement, in order to write have a strong letter invitation, they should be specific and it should show that you've had communication with that institution. Okay. So moving on to submitting a competitive application. So here are some things to keep in mind about a competitive application. It should address the Fulbright goal of promoting mutual understanding, as we discussed before. It should state why you are interested in a Fulbright and why in your proposed host country specifically. And it should also be professional expertise. It should show your professional expertise and skills you can offer and the benefits to the host institution and your host country. It should also put that exchange of knowledge and experience on display. It should show cultural diplomacy and demonstrated flexibility and adaptability on your part. And the outcomes, impact, and multiplier effects. So to go into a little bit more detail on that, it is for your professional development, your home campus, your students, field at large, and for your host institution. It should put on display your future collaboration. So what linkages, what network will you build during your Fulbright grant? And the internationalization of campus and curriculum. So what will you bring home with you and what will you leave in your host institution? So some specific advice on all disciplines is to look around at all the awards. And as we said before, some awards have preferred disciplines different requirements for each, and what we recommend is look around. Is there another award in the country that is more exact fit to your specialization? If so, consider applying for that award. Also, read the award carefully. Are there preferred specializations? Another thing to do is to contact program staff. So you can find this in the award catalog, several contacts that can help you with building your application. And don't be deterred by preferred specializations. So if you see the list of preferred specializations for the award you have in mind and yours is not on that list, don't be deterred. If you have a really strong case and you have a lot of passion for this area of the world or this project, it's not a 100% no. It's possible that no one in those other preferred fields will apply. So something to keep in mind. All right, so really briefly, this is the review process timeline. As you can see, it consists of a very long period of time. And something to keep in mind, it's a really lengthy review process, and your application is read by many different people. So it's good not to make it too technical, but also still preserve the proposal's specificity. And also please note that the grantees are notified of final approvals between the period, between the months of February and May. That's a pretty large window. So once you've finished your application, sent it in, we ask you to please be patient and notice that this part of the timeline extends until the month of May. All right. Okay, last slide. So here are links in order to stay connected with the Fulbright Scholar Program. Okay, so you can join My Fulbright at CIES2.org. This will allow you to build a profile in order to receive more information from us. You can email me and Mary Rolfe at scholars@iie.org. We both share that inbox, so any questions that you have during your application can be forwarded to that inbox, and we'll get to it as soon as possible. But I should say, before emailing us, please visit our website to learn more about the U.S. Scholar Program. I know there a lot of questions will arise during the application process, and that's totally understandable. But we've been doing this for a long time, and a lot of the questions we've gotten before and have published on the U.S. Scholar Program website. So please first look there, and if you can't find it there, we'd be happy to help you by email or by phone. And also, refer your colleagues. If during this webinar you were reminded of a colleague, of someone you've worked with who would be perfect for this kind of thing, please refer them to us, and we have a link to help you do just that right there on the PowerPoint.
Okay. All right, so we're right at 3 o'clock. we're not going to cut off the presentation just yet. We'll look into some of your questions and answer those. However, if you do need to hop off and you have asked a question, don't worry. We'll follow up with you individually via email and let you know the answer to your question. Okay? So if we just go down... and just as a reminder, this presentation is going to be recorded, and it is being recorded, and it will be posted online, and it will be archived, so it will be up all summer for you to reference if you ever need anything. The PowerPoint slides will also be up, so that way all of these hyperlinks that we have in the presentation, you can navigate to the website through. So somebody asked to please provide examples of showing strong country ties, especially if you have no personal connection to the country. What that's referring to is back before when we were saying, you know, applying for an all disciplines award doesn't mean it's necessarily a catch-all award, meaning that, you know, applying for an all-disciplines award to Kosovo just because you think you have a better shot of applying to that science and technology engineering award in Georgia isn't necessarily the right thing to do. What that means is that, what I mean as far as personal country ties, means that make sure that your project has something to do with the host country. Remember, because this is mutual exchange, so you want to have a connection with the host country that you're going to be able to bring home to the U.S., but also making sure that you're giving something to that host country. So why is your project important to them? Why should they care about you? Why should they help fund your project? So I did see somebody asking, is there anything in South America? Yes, we do have all disciplines awards in South America. Let's see, what else? Okay, we had one question, which is, I believe you said that the UK awards are sponsored by universities. Where, how can applicants search by the sponsoring university? So one thing that you can do is go to the catalog of awards. And if you just search by country, you can search by the UK, and all of the awards offered in the UK will pop up, including those 17 all disciplines opportunities that are each associated with a host university. Can you have more than one host invitation? It depends on the award. Some awards will allow you to have more than one invitation. This is especially pertinent to the Global Scholar Award, or any regional award. So, for instance, that Spain and Morocco award, you know, you'll want to host an invitation from both your Spanish host institution and your Moroccan host institution. If you have specific questions about that, you can reach out to us, and we can let you know individually, too. All right, so does Fulbright provide funds for a specific research project where we might need to pay participants? If you look in the award details, you'll find that award benefits tab. That's going to give you a general idea of the award stipend, and you can base money off of that. All right. Should your letter of invitation be in English? Yes, please. Not all of our peer reviewers and technical reviewers and everybody will speak the host language. So we do require that your letter of invitation be uploaded either in English or that you provide a translation of that letter. In that case, it's fine to have two letters uploaded if it's the same letter and one is just translated. So does the host have to be a university? No, it's totally possible that you could have a library, research institution, at times a nonprofit, something like that. It is possible. You'll have to check the award description to make sure that the award allows you to affiliate with whoever you'd like. So will we get a copy of these slides? Yes, and within 5 business days is typically when we have the presentation archived online. Is there an interview process for applicants? That's really going to depend on the country, actually. Some countries once you pass the domestic peer review stage, overseas, some countries will reach out and interview applicants. Okay. Okay, so I am currently an assistant professor, but expect to be promoted to associate by this fall. What ranks should I use in my application? So I would use the rank that you have at the time of your application. If you're looking to, if you think that you're going to be promoted just after August 1st, reach out to us and let us know. It might be something that we will update in your application. But definitely email in the program staff for the award that you're applying to, so that way we can add that to your application if need be during the peer review stage. Okay. All right. So I think we're going to wrap it up for today. Again, if we didn't get to your question today, we will be following up with you via email. We'll also try to follow up with a copy of the presentation once it's archived online. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate you spending the time with us this afternoon to learn more about the Fulbright Scholar Program and specifically All Disciplines Awards. All right. Have a great day.